Hey, Michelle here with the Magic Is You podcast. And I wanted to share what's on my mind lately, what's in my life lately. So it is still the beginning of the year, even though it's already middle of February. How did that happen? And my focus for the year is financial literacy and physical and emotional health. And one of the things that I've been doing to really hone in on keeping those things on the forefront is taking the time every morning to just take out my stack of journals and sit down and read and write. So instead of just jumping straight into the day, I intentionally slow down, and it's not just one journal. It's not like a 5-minute thing. It could be up to an hour of me just sitting there and reading my book of the month and all of the different journals I have. I have the 5-minute journal. I have the best year journal. I have I Will Teach You to Be Rich journal. I have my own journals that I've made. I am in my journal girl era. And I love it because I've realized that this next season of life for me is going to require being a lot more self-aware and discerning. And there's a quote that just sums all of this up. It just puts it in a nice little package. It's supposedly by Abraham Lincoln. And the quote goes, "If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe." And that's what I want my year to be about. I want it to be about the time and attention I put into sharpening my axe, aka really refining my focus, my self-awareness, my ability to be discerning. And then from that place of clarity and alignment, go into what needs to be done, whether it's business, life, home, health, whatever. But taking that time to sharpen the axe before you start spending energy swinging it. And that is why I have a whole stack of journals next to me on the couch that I take my time with every day. And I was filling out the I Will Teach You to Be Rich journal by Ramit Sethi. And there is a page that I actually want to read to you and talk about a little bit. And it's on page 64, if you're wondering. And it's titled, "Try More Money Lenses." From a young age, we're taught to cut back on spending. Over time, it's no surprise that we view the world through one primary lens, cost. If we were musicians, it would be like learning one note and one note only. What a waste. Your money lens, the way you view the world with your money, can certainly be cost, but there are so many other money lenses you can use, like convenience, value, security, results, speed, status, delight, experience, desire. Let me show you a couple of examples. Let's say you're landing at the airport after a long trip. If your money lens is cost, you might take the bus home. It might take 90 minutes and 2 transfers, but it's cheap. If your money lens is convenience, you might take a taxi. If it's delight, you might hire a premium car service. Or let's say you begin a fitness journey. If your money lens is cost, there's lots of very good free material on YouTube. But if you were to prioritize speed, you might get a gym membership. And if you prioritize results, you might hire a personal trainer. You choose. Remember, these can and should change over time. As my financial situation improved and I became more confident about what I valued, I replaced my old way of looking at certain areas of life with new money lenses. So he has a table down here, and it's divided into old lens and new lens. So for personal finance, his old lens was frugality. His new lens is automation, earning, rich life. For food, his old lens was taste and quantity. The new lens is fuel and fitness. For travel, his old lens was cost and value. The new lens is experience, delight, and security. Okay, I'm cutting in here because my kids walked in, and then I pressed pause and then lost where I was and started talking about something thinking I already said it and I didn't. Anyway, in this next clip that's coming, I'm going to be talking about the story of me buying a $200 purse. So just to give a quick backstory, because I didn't realize I didn't give it, a few years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I bought a $200 purse, and it was more than I had ever spent on a purse. It was really challenging my belief systems. And yet I knew that the act of buying the purse was me saying yes to more abundance. And it was also a trigger for the inner work that needed to be dealt with to create space for that abundance. And the unique thing about this is I did not use the purse as a reward for doing the work. I used the purse, said yes to the purse, as a way to elevate my identity, how I felt about myself, how I saw myself. And from that place, did the work that led to way more money than what the purse cost. So there's two different approaches here. One approach is needing to kind of like dangle a carrot in front of you in order to get yourself to do things you don't want to do. And then when you do it, then you can reward yourself with the carrot. The other approach is, how can I say yes to myself now, support me feeling better now, and from that place, not just do the work, but be in alignment and have a kind of clarity from saying yes from the energy of my higher self to take inspired action instead of forcing myself to do things I don't want to do. Instead, just take inspired action, and what kind of money can I create from that place? And it turns out the money you create from inspired action, at least for me, always ends up being way more than the money I create from a place of just trying to check off boxes and get stuff done from a place of just labor. And I've been using this approach for years where if there's something I want, I don't make it a reward. I make it something that I go ahead and buy. And from that foundation of having supported myself with that purchase, emotionally, physically, energetically, I'm able to then turn around and make more money than what the thing cost. And this always comes alongside inner work. It comes along with doing the inner work to realize I already deserve this. I don't need to earn this. I already deserve this. I am worthy now. And that is what creates the abundance. It's not the thing you bought. There's no magic in the thing you bought. The magic is in you stepping into your power and letting go of all the stuff that doesn't serve you. So for me, that $200 purse is like the cost of what it takes to get in the ring with that inner work. So I know in your head you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to just spend money on stuff. But you've spent money on education. You've probably spent money on a college degree. You've probably spent money on courses. You've probably spent money on books. For what? For the purpose of being able to do something with that purchase. So for me, I would see these other things like buying a purse, buying a new desk, buying a new laptop as a way to achieve the same thing that someone might want to achieve from buying a course, buying a book. When you like buy a course about how to make money and that course costs like $2,000 or something, you're hoping that at the end of it, you're going to be able to get your investment back by learning how to make more money. For me, I might think of it this way, like, okay, there's this beautiful, desk system that I want for my office, and it's going to cost $500. And I would see that as kind of like equal to going and buying a course on how to make money, because now I'm just getting in the game of setting myself up to be in that energy of I'm worthy. I deserve this. I need this. I want this. This will help me. This will support me. And I'm going to make money from this energy. So sometimes you might benefit from buying a course. Sometimes you need to take that money and go buy yourself some flowers, because maybe you don't need more education. Maybe you just need to realize that you already deserve beauty and abundance and luxury and peace. And from that energy and from those emotions, you would make even more money than you would make from just buying more things about how to do this and how to do that. There's a balance. I buy courses all the time. I love educating myself. I think literacy in different areas is important. But if you're constantly only doing that and you're not saying yes to some things that would just make your life easier and more beautiful and enjoyable, then it's easy to get into this mode of, I don't know enough and I'm broken and I'm just trying to fix myself and I'm trying to cure the fact that I just don't know anything or whatever, versus I'm already worthy, I'm already enough, I'm already deserving, and I'm going to act like it. And from that energy, you'll create even more money than whatever it is that you spent money on. Anyway, let's go into the next clip where I talk about this some more. So I really appreciated how Ramit broke this down, because it's something I've been practicing for the last 7-8 years. And I always thought of it as an upgrade in identity, but it's the same thing. Changing out your money lens is the same thing as upgrading your identity, or maybe sometimes you're even downgrading it by default, by accident. But the intention is to upgrade so that you're not stuck in a money lens that you had in childhood or high school or college. You are continuously upgrading your lens. And it's kind of like a dance. It's not like, oh, I make more money now. Now I can upgrade my money lens. It's sometimes you need to push yourself to upgrade your money lens in order for you to make more money. And that is what Ramit is really good at teaching people. His philosophy is, how can you live a rich life now and a richer life later? Because we cannot achieve a richer life from a life of scarcity and being cheap and overly frugal. We have to make the journey, the energy of the journey, equate the energy of the destination by letting go of these things that don't serve us. It doesn't serve us in the age that we live in. For most people in developed countries, it doesn't serve you to continuously throughout your whole life be super, super duper frugal. It's not coming from the reality and the truth of of what's available to you. Like the fact that we can all access the internet, resources, customers all over the world. Like we're not living in the Great Depression. So, but you see that sometimes. Sometimes we inherit the energy of previous generations. So yes, in the past, it was necessary to be in survival mode. It was necessary to pinch every single penny. But sometimes that gets passed down. And lo and behold, you're 2-3 generations after the Great Depression, and you're still acting from that energy because it was, you know, your great grandparents taught it to your grandparents, taught it to your parents who taught it to you. And that's where money beliefs come from. It comes from what we were taught, not necessarily what is true for you right now. And I had to train myself into really understanding this because I had to act from the truth before I even felt it. And I knew when I bought that $200 purse that I had the ability to make that money back. And for me to act like I didn't have the ability was costing me way more than a $200 purse. So the act of buying that $200 purse forced me to confront the lies that I was believing, do the inner work on that to let them go. And from that identity of having said yes to my desire, I stepped into this energy of, you know what? I can have what I want just because I want it. I am worthy now. I deserve what I want now. And from that energy, I immediately, or not immediately, but very, 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 very quickly after buying the $200 purse, I turned around and sold hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of planners in my Etsy store. And I could tie it directly to having bought that purse. Now, I'm not saying, oh, if you want to make more money selling planners on Etsy, go buy a $200 purse. That's not what this means. This is always going to be unique to everyone's situation. And it's really about the inner work that comes along with the equation. Because if you are not present for that inner work of releasing those lies and those inner demons and those monsters hiding under your bed, then this is going to fall flat. Because the magic is not the purse, the magic is me. And I used the purse to trigger the inner work for me to step more into my magic. And I've just been doing this over and over and over on a bigger and bigger scale, year after year after year. And I can see that the money that I've been able to attract and create in my life and business, it has correlated with my ability to keep saying yes to the next investment in, not just in my business. I'm not just saying buying things for my business, but buying things for my quality of life, for my ability to support myself in my enjoyment of life. And that always will translate into another boom in my business in terms of making extra money, up-leveling my income, breaking through barriers. And it always coincided with the up-level that I achieved in my mindset, the barriers I broke down in my mindset. And mindset is not just about the thoughts that you're thinking. Mindset is about what you're healing. And I really believe that unless we are looking deeper into what needs to be healed, then this way of making money doesn't really work. You have to really be present for the healing part of the equation. And so I'll give you another example of a more recent example of how I upgraded my money lens. When we moved here to Portugal, we started out in southern Portugal and we were exploring down there, but I didn't really feel aligned with it. And I remember watching a video on YouTube of expats everywhere, and they live in Porto and we're talking about how much they love it. And they've been to all different parts of Portugal and they love Porto the most. And something told me, just go check out Porto. But it was pretty far away, so we could either get on a train or get on a plane or hire a private driver. Now, the most expensive option out of all of these was hire a private driver, but it was also the most convenient and delightful and desire-based option. And so I could either spend maybe less than $100 for me, my husband, and two kids to take a train to Porto, or I could spend, I think it was around $1,000 to hire a private driver in a nice van to drive us to Porto. Now, if you're just looking at cost, you'd be like, save yourself $900 and take a train. But because I've been doing this work on myself so long, I knew that if I took the private driver option, I would make way more money than I would save from taking the train. And that's because I have to look at reality. I have to look at the truth. If I'm just looking at the situation through my childhood trauma lens of financial scarcity, then yes, I would have chosen the train and I would have created more scarcity from that decision based on scarcity. Now, I'm not saying this is black or white. I'm not saying, hey, if you want to make more money, just always choose the most expensive thing. I'm saying that I looked at the reality of my situation, the fact that I have two kids, a bunch of luggage, and that if we took the train, that would mean putting our luggage in an Uber and going from the Uber to the train and trying to fit all of our luggage and going back and forth. And we have each one have a kid and we have all this luggage and how we can't hold everything at one time. And then being on a train that, you know, is not that, it's not like a first class train. When you're sitting there for hours and hours with two kids to get to the train stop and still have to take all the luggage and go to the Uber and then go from the Uber to the B&B. Like you're going from stop to stop to stop to stop with all this luggage and two kids and spending the whole day just dealing with the entire situation. Whereas if I was traveling alone and in my 20s and, you know, life is the season of that life is just about having all of these different experiences, I wouldn't have cared. I would have taken the train. But now, looking at the situation of having a family and looking at the situation, the reality of having a business that has the power to make money more, like I'm not looking at, oh, I only have this amount of money per month and I have to budget and stick to that budget. Yes, I have a budget for things, but I also have the ability to make more money. So I'm not limited to a certain amount of money for a specific budget. I have freedom here. And the way I saw it was if I hire a private driver who can come straight to our hotel, pack up all of our bags for us, and we can all sit comfortably in this van. I made sure it was a big van. We can all sit comfortably. Not only will that be so convenient for all of us, and they'll drive us directly to the door of our Airbnb. We don't have to worry about stopping in between. And not only would that be super convenient, but I knew that the energy of me saying yes to that desire would come back to me and translate into me having the energy to put into my business, which would create more money than what that van private drive cost. And if I had chosen the train option, I would have been tired. I would have been irritated. I would have been giving myself the message of you're not capable of making more money. You have to save every penny you can, which would not have translated into me going into my business and making more money from an energy of abundance. That would not have, the energy of scarcity would not have equaled that energy of abundance. So I made the abundant choice and then I turned it into an abundant result in my business. And every single time I do this, I always am able to, it's like magic. It's like I spent $1,000 on this and oh my gosh, we made $1,000 and I hardly did anything. And again, this is not, it's like magic, but it's not like a magic trick. It's something that requires the emotional work of being in alignment with that decision. Because I could have sat there in that $1,000 van ride and been very much in my head and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not good with money. Look at how much I spent. I should have taken the train. Or I could have used that trigger of spending that money to see what would come up and do that inner work to look at, okay, I'm noticing this negative thought come up, these emotions come up. What about this is coming from a lie? What beliefs need to be extricated from my system? What do I choose to believe instead? It's like you're going into the ring with these voices that want to keep you where you've always been. And you're saying, nope, get out of here. This is not your home anymore. This is what I believe now. This is what I'm capable of. This is who I really am. And that's what I had to do. Because when I pressed buy on that $1,000 private driver, because I've never spent that kind of money on someone to drive us anywhere, it was a new experience. And it was immediately uncomfortable. All these emotions come up, all these thoughts come up, and I did the work to come out on top of that versus just get buried under it and you're not in alignment with that abundant decision you made. You're now using it to dig yourself in the hole even further mentally, emotionally, and financially instead of using it to catapult you to that next level. So that is, I want to keep reiterating that. That is part of the process to make that investment and then to do the work to be in alignment with it. And it is so powerful. And as Ramit says, this is about trying on more money lenses. So again, his money lenses are convenience, value, security, results, speed, status, delight, experience, desire. We should not have the same money lens that we had in childhood. We should not have the same money lens that we had in high school. If you keep operating from the same lens, you're going to keep reiterating the same experiences and lifestyle. And the belief that, oh, to upgrade my money lens, I first need to make more money is backwards, because your money lens is an internal shift. It's not dependent on an external, like, yes, to some degree it is. But for you to get to that point where your external reality will change, you have to start pushing against what you're pretending your reality is. So to pretend that you don't have the ability to make more money, that you don't have the ability to improve your situation right now from where you are right now, there is a money lens that you could be upgrading to no problem right now from where you're at in this moment. But you might not be in this moment. You might be stuck in a moment from 10 years ago and acting like that is your reality. So for me to keep expanding my income and my business, it's like I had to keep reminding myself, Michelle, you have a business. You have the ability to make more money. You can only save so much, but you have unlimited ability to make even more. And yes, it is a balance between saving and making, because if you make $1 million, but you spend it all on things you don't care about, that is not abundant. That is some inner wound that is being ignored. So it is a balance, but you need to operate from a place of what is actually true for me. What are the resources I have? What are the opportunities I have? What are the talents and abilities that I have? I need to act from that place, not from the place of what did my so-and-so teach me when I was a kid, or what did the school system teach me throughout my entire elementary and high school. Like, you need to operate from the truth of who you are and the truth of your circumstances, not from the lies of what other people and exterior systems have fed you. So that is, those are my thoughts on the money lenses page from Ramit's journal. I highly, highly, highly recommend getting the journal along with the book, but to actually write these things down and define what you believe about money and what your rich life looks like now, and not just defaulting to the societal roadmap of scrimp and save. And then when you're 65, you can enjoy money, not defaulting to that. I think he sums it up beautifully. The purpose of your money is to give you the ability to live a rich life now and a richer life later. So you have to believe that you have the power and the ability to do both, because you do.